Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
In this town, there were two mines, one very prosperous, the other struggling. The preacher told of a man who worked all week at the poor mine, but on payday, he went to the prosperous mine for his wages. Of course, the owner of the good mine would not pay him. He made it very clear that if the man wanted good wages from his mine, he would first have to work in his mine. Since he spent his time in another mine, he would have to be content with the wages from that mine. The spiritual application is very clear. If we want to enjoy the wages of God in heaven, we'll first have to spend our lives working in God's kingdom here on earth. If we serve the devil here, then we will have to be content with his wages. Which reward do you want? Is it the reward that you're actually working for, or do you work for one and hope to receive another? If you would, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. We take our text from this particular book. There in chapter 2 and verse 3, the Hebrews writer, after trying to prove that Jesus was greater than the angels, and therefore his law is a greater law than that old law that came before, we find he asks us a question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We're talking about a great salvation, and that's one of the reasons that these lessons are so enjoyable to study. 2 weeks ago, we noticed that the salvation offered through Christ is great because it's a salvation that comes from the greatest author in the world. According to Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, it is Jesus who has caused or authored our salvation. Now, last week we noticed that it was a great salvation because it saves us from a great danger, the danger of tremendous sorrow and that of death. Of course, we mean the second death, spiritual death. Jesus saves us from that when we are obedient to Him. And today, we wrap up our study by noticing that the salvation that's offered through Christ is great because it offers us a great reward, a righteous reward. Hence the title of today's lesson, The Righteous Reward. It's very important for us to understand as we look through the pages of the Bible that God is a rewarder. In fact, He is the great rewarder. And all men who have ever known God have known this to be true. Back in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, we find that after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision and saying, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Abraham lived during a time when he might have been afraid of many things. God had called him out of his home country and into a land that was not his. He didn't own land there. He didn't have an inheritance there except what God promised and was fulfilled to his descendants. But all during Abraham's life, he was there as a stranger. He was in that land as a wanderer, one who did not really belong. It's very possible that he could have had many things to be afraid of. But God said, I am the one who will protect you, and I am your exceedingly great reward. It is Jehovah. And the way that He deals with man and the wickedness and the righteousness of man that causes the men of the earth, Psalms chapter 58 and verse 11, to say, Surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely He is the God who judges the earth. I recall the story of Ruth. Ruth had taken care of her mother-in-law, Naomi. And when she went to the field of Boaz to reap the grain that was left behind for those who were poor, it was the Old Testament system of what we might consider welfare, that those who owned property would leave the corners of their fields for the ones who were poor. The ones who were poor could then go into the field and reap that grain for themselves. They were not given a hand out, but rather they were given a hand up. We find that in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12, that Boaz is impressed with Ruth, and Ruth is equally impressed with Boaz and his generosity. And it says, The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Boaz wanted Ruth to understand that it was God who would reward her, and he wanted her to have that reward from the hand of God, the great rewarder. The writer of the same book of Hebrews, from which we take our text today, tells us in chapter 11 and verse 6 that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you don't believe that God is a rewarder, then maybe it's because you're not living a life here of diligently seeking after Him. Because we must believe that He is a rewarder, but only one who rewards those who diligently seek Him. We also need to understand that not only is God the great rewarder, but there is a great reward. In fact, the reward is much greater than we can possibly imagine. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Do you love God? Maybe you would think that's a foolish question. Of course I love God. Everyone does. Well, it's not the case. Everyone doesn't love God. In fact, there are those who claim and boldly proclaim that they do not love God. There are others who say that they love Him, but according to the Bible, they do not. How do I know that? I know because in John chapter 14 and verse 15, and John chapter 15 and verse 14, I am taught that if I do not obey Him, if I don't keep His commandments, it's a sign that I do not love Him. But God has prepared a reward much greater than those that of us can possibly imagine. But it is reserved for those who love Him, those who keep His commandments. How can God do this? Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 20 that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How great do you think God is? How magnificent and how powerful do you believe God is? Well, however powerful you believe He is, the Bible says He's able to do much more than that. He's able to do more than you can even think of. That's how powerful God is. That's why God is able to give that great reward. So the salvation that comes from Christ is great because it comes from a great rewarder. And this reward is so great because it is a righteous reward. Think back, and I'm sure that there are many times in your life where you may have felt you deserved something. You may have felt that you had properly done the things to earn something, either a particular wage or maybe a standing in the community, or maybe it was just the respect of your family and friends. However, you don't always get what you feel like you have earned. There are times when we think we deserve something and it's held back from us. That's not a righteous reward. There are other times in our lives, if you are like me, where you have received blessings that you know you did not deserve. Maybe it was your parents who bestowed upon you something that you know you had not earned, and they were better to you than you deserved. Well, we need to understand that God in the last day will give a reward, but it will be a righteous reward. Turn your Bible over to Proverbs chapter 2, if you would. Here in Proverbs chapter 2, I'd like to examine the first 9 verses for the next few minutes. The first 4 verses give us a series of ifs. Verse 1 says, "If you receive my words." Now these things that we're about to know are conditional. Verse 1, "If you treasure my commands within you." We must receive God's word and value it. Understand that it is valuable. Hold it up as the word of God and treasure it in our hearts. Verse 3, "If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding." Verse 4, "If you value understanding as silver and a hidden treasure." If we are willing to do all of these things, and notice all of them are connected to God's Word, if we're willing to do these things, then verses 5 through 9 tells us what we will receive. Verse 5, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord," or the reverence or respect of the Lord. Verse 5, "Then you will find the knowledge of God." Verse 9, "Then you will understand righteousness. Then you will understand justice. Then you will understand equity. Then you will understand every good path." Now, the Proverbs writer tells us how we can know righteousness, how we can know that way of righteousness, the things that are equitable or fair, the things that are right, every good path. We can know those things, but only if we do the ifs that we talked about in those first four verses. Only if we truly call out for God's Word. Only if we truly treasure it by laying it up in our hearts. Only if we will cry out for understanding. If we do that, then we can understand righteousness. We can understand every good path. And it's very important that we do. We're talking about receiving a reward, but it's a righteous reward. That means that God has to be right in giving it to us, and we have to be right in receiving it. Now, God expressed His righteousness. According to the first three chapters of the book of Romans, God showed man His righteousness when He sent Jesus to the cross. He sent perfection to die for those who were sinners. He sent that which was whole to die for that which was sick. He sent deity to the cross to die for mankind. Because of this, God declared or showed His righteousness to all men of all times, how He is right in offering salvation, a great salvation. But we have to be righteous in order to receive that salvation. We have to know that it will save us from the danger of sorrow and death. We have to know that it is Jesus who has authored or caused it, and therefore He establishes the proper terms for it. And we have to know that it is a reward that comes from the great rewarder. But it is a reward that is a righteous reward. And we must meet Him on His terms in order to receive it. God is a rewarder of the righteous, and that He gives us a righteous reward. We looked at Proverbs chapter 2, and we noticed there the ifs and the thens, that there were things that we had to do in order to understand righteousness. All of those things were connected in one way or another with God's Word. The Bible carries this connection all the way through. Righteousness is always seen as being tied to or connected to God's Word. If you turn over to Psalms chapter 119, this passage probably says more than any other one chapter about the Bible, about God's Word and the message spoken to man. In verse 40, he says, "Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness." The righteousness of God there is equated with His precepts or His law, His commandments. In verse 142, he says, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." Again, we see the connection between the law of God and His righteousness. In verse 144, it says, "The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." The testimonies of God, again, are His law, the word that He has spoken to us. And finally, in verse 172, it says, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." If you want to know what the righteousness of God is, turn to the Bible. Turn to the Bible and understand His commandments. We also need to understand that when we reject His righteousness and we establish our own, we make the same mistake that the Jews of Jesus' day made. We find in Romans chapter 10 that Paul had a great desire for Israel. This is those who were Jews by birth to be saved. However, they had rejected God's righteousness and gone about and established their own righteousness. And having done so, they could not be pleasing to God. God's reward is a righteous reward. It's righteous because He tells us about it in His book of righteousness, the Bible. It's righteous because He will give us exactly what He says He will. And He will give the reward only to those that the Bible tells us in advance are acceptable to Him. We don't have to wonder who that is. Rather, God has already foreordained or predestinated, words that sometimes we have difficulty understanding. He has already previously determined what group of people will be saved. Now, I don't want to confuse you. It doesn't mean that God has already determined on an individual basis which people will be saved, but rather He has already predetermined the conditions for salvation. And it is only those who meet those conditions who will be saved in the end. The reward that he offers is also a righteous reward because it is given without any fear or favor. God is not a respecter of persons. His righteousness is offered to everyone. Notice Revelation 22 and verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come. And let whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We need to understand that God has reached out to all men all over the world. It doesn't matter what color you are, what language you speak, what country you live in. That makes no difference at all to God. And it should make no difference at all to us. God has offered His salvation to every man. And we must reach out with His Word to every man. God invites you to come to Him. It doesn't matter. If you are Arab or Jew, if you are Muslim or Buddhist, it doesn't matter. God reaches out to you and says, "I sent Christ to die for you. Will you not obey me and come to me on my terms?" God reaches out to people in every nation. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness," there's that word again, "is accepted by Him." We need to understand that anyone can come to Christ. And everyone is invited to come to Christ, but we must do so by working righteousness, coming to Him on His terms. It's for this reason that 1 Peter 1 and verse 17 refers to Jehovah as the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work. When God judges you according to your work, where will you stand? Will you be acceptable to Him? Are you truly loving Him by obeying His commandments? Have you believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to the point that you are willing to repent of your sins, to turn away from that life, and to turn to God and follow Him? To confess Jesus, to confess before other people that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the one who died for all of us. And then to be baptized in water, to be immersed in water, to rise up and walk in a new life, being a new creature in Christ. Have you done those things? Those are works that we will all be judged by. He is the Father who, without partiality, judges each according to His own work. We need to understand that about Jehovah, and that needs to motivate us to want to stand before Him, just and obedient, on that last day.